It's finally spring, besties. Let's go. Let's go. Another day, another episode. We're back. Apologies if there's some extra background noise. The windows are open. I'm actually not going to apologize because I'm just excited that it's warm enough and it's not raining. So if there's background noise, just enjoy it. One of my neighbors is mowing the lawn. The birds are chirping. So I'm not apologizing. Just enjoy it. A little ASMR for you guys. It's raining tomorrow, so I'm taking it all in, and I am enjoying it, and you can enjoy it too. So, here we are. A fun little note, if you're local to the Lancaster area, or if you're willing to drive to the Lancaster area, I'm starting to offer free community pack walks on a monthly basis. I'm doing them, hopefully, every second Saturday of the month. I'm going to put a link to the Facebook group where I'm organizing these events in the show notes. So if you want to join that group, that's where I'm posting most of the information. I'll also post them on like my Instagram stories, but I'm mainly organizing them through this Facebook group. So it's, you know, I'm not letting the dogs interact with each other. So if you have a reactive dog, like this is a really great space to bring your dog. You're encouraged to give your dog as much space as you need. Again, I'm not letting the dogs interact with people, interact with other dogs. So also, like, if you need help, like, practicing advocating for your dog, this is a great space to start doing that. I don't know, they're really fun. I just had my first one this past Saturday, the 13th. It was really great. Not a ton of people showed up, but that's totally fine. I kind of liked how intimate it was. I had a really great time. The weather was great. And I'm really excited to keep doing this. I am planning a lot more free community events. I had a ton of fun. Now that the weather is nice, it's a good time to start doing them. So again, I'm going to put the information in the show notes. And I hope to see some more people come out. It was great. I'm just really excited. I was really nervous to do it. But I love... Anytime I like feel nervous about doing something, I'm like, oh, now I gotta do it. now I gotta fucking do it. If I'm scared to do it, I know that it means that I have to do it. So, yeah, I'm really excited. It was a lot of fun. And a lot of my clients and a lot of other people were like, we couldn't make it this time, but we're gonna come! We're gonna come! So, I think it'll be great. And my friend Kim in Iowa, she does it a lot. And there's no reinventing the wheel in dog training. So I know that there's a lot of other communities that do it as well. So, I think it'll be really great for the community. I've seen dog owners... in the area, they've been trying to do it themselves, so I think it'll be great to have a trainer organizing it, and hopefully I can help dog owners kind of like fine-tune things with their dogs, and it's just a great way for me to connect with my own community. So I'm really excited about it, so hopefully I'll get to connect with some of you guys out there, and I know that like a lot of my clients want to come, so that makes my heart really warm that my clients and my friends are supporting me, so I'm really excited about it. I also am trying to plan like a coffee and dog event sometime in the near future. My friend Ruby out in California did one and it totally inspired me because like, hello, that's my shtick, Ruby. How could you do that to me? No, my friend Ruby out in California did it and I was like, oh my God, that's like perfect for me. And there's a cafe in downtown Lancaster that has a walk-up window. So I'm working on ideas and I'm trying to find a weekend that will be good for me because I have two client events every weekend out of the month. And then now I have this community pack walk. So I'm trying to figure out a weekend that will work. But I mean, hello, that's my shtick. So I think it'll be really fun and I'm trying to talk with Ruby to see how she organized things because I think it will be really fun And I wanted to be more organized in how I'm doing the pack walks because it is downtown and space is a little bit more tight. But I think it'll be super fun to just like hang out, do a little bit more structure with our dogs, and then we walk up to the cafe, get some coffee with our dogs, and it'll be so much fun. So join the Facebook group for the community pack walks because I'll post it in there, but I'll also post it all over my social media because hello, coffee, Courtney, dogs. Perfection. And that one will also be free too, but it'll be a little bit more structured, so it might not be ideal for some of your reactive dogs, especially because it's downtown, tight sidewalks, not a lot of grass, not a lot of space to escape with your reactive dogs, but it'll still be super fun. I have a lot of stuff going on, so if you're not already following my social media accounts, do it right fucking now. Because I have a lot of things that I'm releasing soon, a lot of things that I'm working on. It's going to be a busy summer. I have a lot of shit going on. So if you're not following me, all of my socials are listed in the show notes, okay? All right. That was a lot of announcements, and I apologize if you're sick of me. If you're still listening, thanks so much. Love you. Let's get into coffee. I have probably already reviewed this specific blend. I know I've already talked about this company before, but they're local, and you know I love a good local company. It's the 1562 Roastery. We're talking about the Lancaster blend. This is like a friend of a friend of a friend. I don't know. That's just how things go in Lancaster County, okay? But we love the Lancaster blend. It's got notes of milk chocolate, dried fruit, and caramel. Okay? We love that shit. We love it. And I'm back on my bullshit. It's good. I'm sorry. I should not be reviewing coffee, but here I am. It's good. We like it. Coffee good. Anyway, big fans of these guys. You can buy them online. I'm not sure if you can buy them in any storefronts, but like, who doesn't love online shopping? Because if you're anything like me, I can't be bothered to go into any stores because of my anxiety. Maybe the anxiety is because of all the coffee that I drink, but who knows? We love buying things online because then it just shows up to my front door and I'm like, oh my god, a package. Amazing. So we love them and I just really love local coffee. It just makes me feel good about myself because I'm not a slave to capitalism. So big fans of 1562, all of their blends, Lancaster blend, even better. Amazing. All right, we're going to move on to dog stuff, but before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, I need to give a really big disclaimer here, because I'm going to say some shit about vets, and before I get into, like, my own personal bullshit, because I'm going to get heated here, I need to stop and say that I respect the shit out of vets. Vets have an incredibly difficult job. And vets have one of the highest, if not the highest, suicide rates in this country, which is directly linked to their job. Vets don't get nearly enough respect. They have an incredibly high burnout rate. They have such incredibly high compassion fatigue. They're treated like shit all of the time. And I'm going to say a lot of things. And you can advocate for your dog while still treating your vet with respect. Vets are experts in medicine. They are not experts in behavior. And that's where my frustration lies, okay? So if I get heated and if I get upset about certain things, that's where my frustration lies. It is not because vets are not good at their jobs. It's because vets are not experts in behavior. Okay, I respect the shit out of vets. Vets are very good at dealing with medical issues, and vets are not treated nearly as well as they should be. And there is a really huge issue here with vets and the treatment towards vets. And I don't know how to change that. And I don't think that anybody knows how to change that. But I need to give this disclaimer because I don't want to be a part of that issue. But I also know that, like, there's also this bigger issue at play here. Not this bigger issue. There's also a separate issue here where dogs are being heavily medicated for issues that don't need to be medicated. And that's what this episode is about, right? But I need to give this huge disclaimer here that vets are heavily mistreated. And that's also not okay. But I also don't want to be a part of that problem either. Because there are fantastic vets. And I don't want to be a part of that problem either. Okay? Alright, now that that's out of the way, please, and also, like, please take that to heart. Because, like, this is a subject that, like, I'm really passionate about. And so, I am going to do my best to, like, keep my cool about this because I do not want to disrespect people within the pet industry who I have a lot of respect for because I'm passionate about the fact that there are too many dogs being put on behavioral medications right now who do not need to be put on behavioral medications right now because of shitty practices. And by shitty practices, I don't mean shitty vet practices. I just mean, like, shitty general practices. So, I'm trying to keep my head about this, which is hard for me. Because typically, I just, like, let my freak flag fly. As you've seen for the past 22 episodes, right? So, I'm trying very hard to keep my composure about this. Because it's a delicate topic, right? And it's a topic that, like, needs to be discussed because there are a lot of people out here who are really quick to go to medication, and it's not necessarily that medication is the problem. It's the over-medication that's the problem. And I don't have a problem with medication. If a dog needs medication, a dog needs medication. I am on medication myself, right? Sometimes I just need help adjusting my own shit to help me because my anxiety is too bad, because my PTSD is too bad, because something happens and my PTSD is triggered or, like, whatever, and I need help. And dogs are the same way. So I would be such a huge hypocrite to say, well, I need medication, so that's okay for me, and then to turn around and to say, all dogs are fine without medication. No. That's fine. Or that's not fine. I understand that it's a chemical thing. Some dogs are fine without medication. Some dogs need medication, whether it's to take the edge off, or it's just a chemical imbalance. And especially with the way that dogs are being bred in this country, it's just a fucking dumpster fire. And, like, I hate using that phrase because I think it's just so overused and it's just kind of cringy and whatever, but it just works, right? Like, genetics are just a mess right now. And so there are so many unstable dogs in this country, especially, that it makes sense that the use of behavioral meds are on the rise to me. But I also think that it's being way overused and for the most ridiculous things. So I wrote notes and I'm already going off script here. Let's rewind a little bit. All right, so first things first, what are some reasons that a dog will be put on behavior meds for? I would say, like, the top few reasons that I have seen dogs be put on behavior meds for are separation anxiety, situational anxiety. Now, this would be for, like, dogs who, like, have a really hard time going to the vet. Maybe something like thunderstorm anxiety, like having a really hard time dealing with shit like that, you know, like, I don't know, I think situational anxiety kind of, like, explains itself here. This one irks me the most. I have literally heard of dogs be put on medicine for having too much energy. This is where I have to keep my cool the most, okay? Gonna move on that I'm gonna move past that one real quick. Just general anxiety. Same with people. Just having, like, too much nerves, okay? Reactivity and aggression, okay? So, again, just gonna move past that list, right? So, here's the thing. I'm gonna use my parents as an example here because my parents, God bless them, my parents love me and they respect what I do. They just don't understand it. They don't understand why people hire me for training. And I think a lot of it is just like a generational thing. Like, we got two dogs when I was in high school. And like, for my mom, it was like my older sisters were going to college and it was like she was getting a little empty nest syndrome kind of thing. So she was like, I need to fill these two spots of my two older sisters going away to college. So she was like, I'm gonna get dogs, even though she fucking hates animals, right? So anyway, I didn't know anything at the time because I was in high school. Like, I didn't know a lot about dogs. But anyway, what I know now, these two dogs were, like, incredibly reactive. Now that, like, I know more, like, my dad will ask me questions. These dogs have since passed. Like, we had to put both of these dogs down last year, like, whatever. My dad will ask me questions now about these dogs, like, well, what would you have done for Rory and Gus? And it's like, okay, well, I can't explain to you, like, a full reactivity program, but, like, I'll try to explain a little bit to him. But, like, for people like my parents, okay, they wouldn't have hired a trainer, but they would have gone to their vet because they trust their vet. And that's what you do. You go to your vet and you say, like, hey, I'm having X, Y, and Z issues with my dog. And I remember, like, they asked their vet about the one dog, Gus, because Gus was really anxious and Gus was really nervous. And the vet did prescribe Gus. I don't remember exactly what medication it was, but Gus was prescribed some kind of anxiety medication. And they did try it for Gus, but this is what happens with these medications, is it essentially just, like, sedates your dog. And unfortunately, like, it doesn't do anything about the anxiety. Like, the anxiety is still there, but because, like, no training was done with your dog, the anxiety is still present, but because your dog is sedated, they can't do anything about the anxiety. So they're just kind of, like, stuck with the anxiety still present in their body, but because they're sedated, they're just, like, a little bit more anxious. So they're just like, oh, shit, I'm still anxious, but, like, I can't do anything because I'm sedated. So luckily, like, my parents were, like, cool, so, like, Gus is, like, more presenting more calmly because he's tired, but, like, it kind of, like, took away some of his personality. So my mom was like, I don't want to do this. I don't like this. I don't like how he looks, like, whatever. So they took him off the meds. But, like, for people like my parents, like, of course they're going to go to the vet because they don't understand training, essentially. But, like, looking back on it now, it's like, I wish that my parents' vet had been like, what this dog needs is a trainer. Now, of course, that was 20 years ago. Trainers aren't what they were now. I didn't know what I know now. I was 16 years old. And that's also what's so frustrating is because, like, of course, vets understand medicine. So a vet sees anxiety. You see anxiety, you prescribe anxiety medication. But what's so frustrating about that is that you see a behavior problem, you should prescribe training. You should prescribe a behavior, right? Like, you should prescribe something to solve. Now, solve is a harsh word, but you know what I mean? You should prescribe something to address the behavior. What addresses the behavior? An expert in the behavior, which is a trainer. This is where I get really frustrated, because if you're an expert in medicine, you should refer out to someone who is an expert in behavior, which is a trainer. So you should have the forethought to say, hey, I am not an expert in behavior. Let me refer out to someone who is an expert in behavior. I think I might have just muddled my words a little bit, but you know where I'm going with this. And I will say that there are vets who do that, because I have a client who is a vet who I just had a conversation with about this. And because I have another client who, like, it's a longer story and I don't need this episode to be like 500 minutes long, but I wanted her advice on something. And she was like, I will not prescribe anxiety medication until a client has gone through some form of training, whether it's formal or just like individual, like whatever. Until they've done like some form of training, because they need to address the root cause. And I could have made out with her on the spot. Like, I think if her husband wasn't there, I would have. I could have cried, because I was like, oh my God, I love you so much, Laura. I was so happy, because it's like, that's the right thing to do. Because if I see a dog who has a medical issue, I say, you need to go to your vet. And that doesn't make me God. That just means that, like, I know to stay in my lane, which is why I'm not sitting here and saying this medicine does that and this medicine does this and this is what you should prescribe for, like, whatever anxiety you're seeing. That's why I say you go to your vet. And this is why, like, I get so frustrated. And it's like, I'm not, again, vets have incredibly difficult jobs, and I'm trying to be really delicate here. But it's so frustrating when I'm, okay, it's really, and it's also devastating when I'm getting a 10-month-old Sheltian who's on trazodone for resource guarding, and when I ask the owners to take her off of the trazodone, and I completely eliminate the resource guarding through training, and it's like, cool, that vet also wanted this dog dead because of this resource guarding, but we completely eliminated that issue just through training. That's devastating to me. And it's like, it's so hard, because it's just like, it's okay that you don't have the behavior background that I do, because that's not your job. So then, don't shove your face into something that you have no business being into. Then just say, like, hey, this isn't my wheelhouse. You should speak to a trainer, because I don't know what I'm doing here. Because do you know how many times I have had to say to a client, hey, you know what? I don't have the answer here. Let me talk to a few of my colleagues, even though it's my job to be an expert in behavior. But it's also okay to say, I don't have the answers here. Let me give you some referrals. Like, it's okay to say that. What it's not okay to say is that your dog should be dead for something that you have no business talking about. That's what pisses me off. Sorry, got a little cuckoo crazy there for a minute. Jesus fuck. I also think there's this, like, really big issue in our country where, like, we're trying to force our dogs to live in this human world instead of trying to fit our dog's needs. And I don't know if this is like a result of COVID, or if this is something that has been happening since before COVID, or if this is just something that I've started recognizing since COVID, or I don't know. It's like, we're all trapped inside because of COVID, and then people got really comfortable with staying inside. Like, okay, I've been a hermit forever. But I have also loved being out in nature. Like, it's just been a part of my job since I started my business. So it's wild to me that, like, people are just so comfortable forcing their dogs to stay inside. Now, I say that while also recognizing that if you have a reactive dog, it is really difficult to meet your dog's needs when you can't step outside with your dog because you're hitting all of your dog's triggers the second you step outside with your dog. So I fully recognize that, and I am not shading you or shaming you for not being able to meet your dog's needs if they're reactive and you can't fucking do anything because your dog is reacting the second you step outside your front door. So it's this really weird, so like if you have a reactive dog, it's this really weird and hard mix of like, I want to go out and I know that I need to like fulfill all of my dog's needs, but I can't because my dog freaks out every time I leave my door. But for like the everyday dog owner who like maybe isn't reactive, my dog has separation anxiety. My dog has too much energy. But you've got an 85-pound doodle that you want to be a couch potato, and you're not doing anything with them? Question mark. You know what I mean? And again, it's so hard because it's like I don't want to shade dog owners, but it's also like we also need to talk about breed fulfillment. Because what are we doing to like genetically fulfill our dogs? Are you taking that doodle to the fucking water? Are you taking that dog and making sure that it's getting genetically fulfilled in a way that it was bred to do? Now, I understand that doodles aren't bred to do any fucking thing except being sold, right? But, like, literally, okay, so if we're talking about a labradoodle, that thing should be in the fucking water. And it's gonna get matted, so are you prepared for that grooming bill? Probably not. But listen, let's be real here. Even if you have a mutt, look into what fucking breeds are in that thing. And, okay, if you've got a pity, fulfill that fucking drive, because otherwise that thing is gonna go fucking insane. Like, there's so many things here that I think that, like, owners are missing out on, and then you've got this, like, wound-up dog who is just unfulfilled because it's just sitting in your house going insane. And then you're like, you know what's gonna solve this? Pills. No, it's not. Like, get outside with your dog. Maybe being outside isn't going to solve anything, but it's not going to hurt it either. And it just breaks my heart thinking about how, like, so many dogs are on fucking trazodone, and it's like, why? Does your dog need to be on trazodone every fucking day? Trazodone isn't a bad drug, like, Corey, who we all love so fucking much, y'all love Corey better than me. It's fine. It's fine. Corey always talks about how, of all the anxiety meds, trazodone is great. As a situational drug, my personal opinion, I don't know enough about the medicines, but like, Corey's opinion, I guess, because trazodone, at least like, helps the dog work through their anxiety so they're not just sedated. I guess it has a sedative effect, but it at least, like, helps them work through their anxiety, kind of. But, like, your dog should not be on trazodone every fucking day of its life. And, like, personally, I don't think a dog under the age of 1 year old, 1 year, 1 year old needs to be on any kind of fucking anxiety medication. I think that's fucking insane. You don't even know your dog's personality under 1 year old. That's insane to me. Let your dog grow up, because once you hit the teenager phase, complete change of personality. Like, that's insane. I'm not even looking at my notes. Fuck! I wrote like 3 pages of notes just so I wouldn't get off track. Hold on. Another really important thing that we need to talk about is that, like, you have to teach your dog an off switch. You absolutely have to. Especially, we just talked about the teenager phase. That shit is gonna hit you. You're gonna be, like, going 80 miles an hour into a concrete wall. You have to be prepared for that. That shit is gonna be so annoying. Talk to literally any dog trainer on earth who has raised a puppy. All of us have been through hell going through a teenager phase. I don't care who you are. Nobody has had an enjoyable teenager phase. It is not pleasant. Teach your dog an off switch, for the love of God. Like, the off switch isn't going to save you during the teenager phase. But it's like, dogs who are getting prescribed medicine because they have too much energy, you know what's going to help you at least, like, take a deep breath is going to be teaching your dog a solid off switch before they hit 8 months of age. Like, please, you do not need medication to help your dog calm down. Because that's a learned behavior. And just drugging your dog isn't okay. That's not okay. Imagine if someone just gave you Xanax because you were too hyper. I mean, okay. Wouldn't that be fucking nice? Someone just, like, pop an Ambien in me because I'm going too fucking insane right now. Please. No. I have a consult at 6. Please don't do that. I'm drinking too... Courtney's drinking too much coffee. Someone just knock her out. Could you imagine? Bet you wish you could. All of the vets in my comments right now, like, someone just punch her really hard. And, like, I know I mentioned this before. I am not anti-medication. I think what we, like, really actually need to do is, like, okay, if you're at the point where you're like, I don't know what to do, I think my dog needs medication, what I urge you to do is, like, one, research online. If you're not, if, like, training is inaccessible to you, one, I think that, like, consider CBD and, like, calming treats. So, I really like Westpaw. I think that's the name. It's not Westpaw. Westpaw is the company that makes topples. It's Zesty Paw. Zesty Paws, you can find them on Amazon. They're calming treats or, like, a CBD oil. CBD oil for anxiety is kind of, like, hit or miss. I don't believe that there's enough studies to see how it targets anxiety. So it's really kind of like hit or miss, but you have to give it to your dog every day for its like full effectiveness. And I believe that the oil, like the tincture, is your best bet for its full effectiveness rather than like the treats. My friend Susanna wrote a blog about CBD oil and like helping your dog with anxiety, so I will put it in the show notes. I've been sending it to a bunch of clients recently. So, you're welcome, Susanna. I don't know if you're listening to this, but if you are, you're welcome for the views. So, like, that might help. See, you know, see if it takes the edge off. And while you're doing, you're, like, testing calming treats and CBD, teach your dog these necessary skills to, like, help get through life. You know, work them through their triggers, teach them an off switch, use like positive reinforcement and like other things to like, you know, break them through their fixation, like while they're fixating up, like there's so many fucking things I can't train you through a podcast, but you know, I can't do a training program through a podcast, but teach them the necessary skills that they need through life, to get through life, to work them through their anxieties. Teach them the necessary skills, and then if they still need medication, then that's okay. That's fine. If medication is what they need in order to live their life fully, then that's fine. But medication can't be the first step. That's what I'm trying to get at, okay? If you notice anxiety in your dog, it's like there's no magic fix here. Is what I'm trying to say. There's no, oh my god, I noticed, like, and I get it, because you see that your dog is uncomfortable, and you want that discomfort to go away as soon as possible, because it's hard to watch your dog be uncomfortable, and it's hard to see that. There is no magic fix. Like, maybe your dog is on medication, and you're like, cool, it's gone. It's not. It's really not. Your dog is probably just sedated. And if that's the case, your dog is still anxious. It's just masked. So I would really urge you to get ready to do a lot of work, because there is a lot of work that goes into it. And, you know, but it's worth it in the long run. And it's okay if your dog needs to be medicated. I know that the last 30 minutes or so that I just got really amped up and really worked up over the fact that people are medicating and over-medicating their dogs. I am not anti-medication, I promise. I think that medication can do a lot of really great things. Like, a little self-disclosure here. Well, just sounded like my therapist. I'm on gabapentin for anxiety, like, as needed. And a lot of times I'm just like, oh, can't handle my own anxiety, can't meditate through this. I need a gabapentin, and that's fine. And you know what? I'm on a dog's dose of gabapentin. It's fine. I am on a Watson-sized dose of gabapentin. That's Corey's. That's one of Corey's dogs. It's fine. And I need that sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if your dog needs medication and you have done the work to help your dog build the necessary skills that they need to walk past their triggers, to get through life, and at the end of all of that, they still need medication to just, like, help take the edge off of certain things, I will have your back. That is totally fine. But if you notice anxiety and you go to your vet and your vet is like, trazodone every single day for the rest of their life, you can and you should advocate for your dog. But by advocating for your dog, please still be nice to your vet. Because even asshole vets deserve respect, because your vet is probably burnt out and your vet probably has, like, an immense amount of compassion fatigue, and your vet already has a difficult enough job, so it's hard out here, and your vet already has a difficult enough job, and your vet probably put down 15 dogs today, and your vet probably has a dog who just got diagnosed with cancer and then was like, hey, also, can you do a nail trim? So, like, be nice to your vets, please. Like, begging and pleading. I know that, I mean, it's with every industry. There are really good vets out there, and there are really shitty vets out there. But even the shitty ones deserve respect. Because, honestly, I think that, like, even the shitty ones have probably just been in the industry for too long, and they're probably just, like, so burnt out that they can't even recognize what's going on. And that's just my belief, I think. I think that they're just, like, they've just been, like, harassed for the last 25 years, and they're just like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. Here's some Prozac. I can't do it. Here you go. And here's some Trazodone while you're at it. Good luck. Get out of here. I don't know. But you can always say no. And you can, you're the ultimate decision maker here. So, those are my thoughts on medication. I hope you guys have a great day. And yeah, love ya. See you in the next one. Bye.